From the land of the free and the home of the Chiefs, this is the Locked On Chiefs podcast.
And welcome back to another episode of Locked On Chiefs. It is Wednesday and happy Thanksgiving a little bit early. Ryan and I, just a heads up, we will not have an episode tomorrow for Thursday. We will be back on Friday. But today, however, I do have Seth Kaiser with me.
Oh, sorry. Yeah.
That doesn't surprise me. It's okay.
Hey, you know what? I still love you guys, and I just think that, you know, maybe Thanksgiving, maybe that's exactly what people need on Thanksgiving, is a podcast. Now, seeing as how I'm, you know, part of the team, I should volunteer my time, and I'm not gonna, so we could either focus on my own hypocrisy or move on, I suppose.
Yeah, let me know how that goes for you. I think I'll let it be for now. What a game. Ooh. How much did you enjoy watching that game?
Oh, I had a blast. It was a little stressful at times, but after the Chiefs scored the first touchdown and it became like a game again and I wasn't really worried about a blowout or anything like that, I had a lot of fun.
Absolutely. And you look at that game and the way it started, you thought the Chiefs were going to get blown out.
It looked bad. I mean, the defense looked completely overmatched, and they looked overmatched most of the night, but at least they made some plays of their own. But that first Rams drive, and then when the Chiefs offense took the field and looked a little discombobulated, and, you know, then they get up 13-0, and you start to think, oh, man. And it was, but as soon as the Chiefs score four plays later, and that's the fun thing about the Chiefs is, there's really not a lot of scores that are ever going to be completely out of reach because they can score in three or four plays or one play. And so I just had a blast. I mean, you had really good quarterback play. Jared Goff made a believer out of me. I don't think he's on Mahomes' level, but I think he can definitely sling it. I think he looked great. And so, I mean, it was just a fun overall game.
No, it was a very fun game. Obviously, Kansas City came out on the wrong side of the scoreboard, but I think they showed a lot, and the thing that impressed me the most, and I think we'll get into this a little bit more, they did it without Sammy Watkins, and that was the question as to whether or not they'd be able to do that.
Yeah, there were a lot of concerns about the offense without Watkins because of previous performances, and he tried to go, and he couldn't do it. He did not look like himself out there for the few snaps he was on the field, and credit to him for trying to tough it out, but, you know, it is what it is. They did a really great job. I mean, Kelce and Hill were unbelievable. Hunt was more limited in his opportunities, but he looked great. Conley stepped up. I mean, the offense as a whole looked really good. Mahomes was brilliant for much of the game, which of course makes the mistakes that got made all the more maddening, but that's neither here nor there. But the fact that they were able to perform like that without Watkins is encouraging. It also makes you, you know, you're always going to walk away with the what ifs, you know. What if this had been the game Barry could have been back? What if Watkins was healthy? You know, would that have changed the very few possessions the Chiefs were stopped? Things like that.
What if Travis Kelce catches that 3rd-and-2 pass?
Oh, that's underrated storyline of the game.
I tried talking about it last night, but I was shut down. I was told that Kelce played good enough, and it's him just trying to adjust to Mahomes. And I'm sorry, I get that he's still trying to adjust, but at the same time, he's had so many drops this year that we haven't seen in years past.
He has. And it seems like quite a few. When I did I did a quick, I don't know what you'd call it, you know, a little kind of video clip of some of Patrick Mahomes' great throws that have been dropped. And I was surprised how many of them featured Travis Kelce. And some people pointed that out to me, that, wow, Kelce dropped a lot of passes in there. I was like, wow, yeah, you're right. And then, I mean, he had one that was really bad. Then he had another one that he should have caught but would have been a tougher catch. It was rough. It really was rough. And he had a great game overall. Don't get me wrong, but what drive, I'm trying to remember, did that drop occur? Well, that was, oh my goodness, yeah, that was in the fourth quarter when the Chiefs got the ball back down 3 with over.
Oh, I think they were up at that point.
I'm looking right now.
Or were they down?
Nope, they were down 3. And so, this was a huge, huge chance to really jack with the game. Now, fortunately, the defense forced a punt right afterwards. And so I don't know how huge an impact it really had. But, I mean, it was a wasted drive. And it's just, I mean, that's tough. Well, then I had to listen to Booger McFarland talk about how it was great coverage by Peters. And that just,
that made
me crazy. Like, I got to tell you, I understand that what announcing crews do is difficult, but I was just losing my mind listening to them. I just.
Were you losing your mind more because of listening to them or watching the referees, the all-star referees?
That was tough, too. I tend to not get too fired up about refs. The false starts were really bugging me. The right tackle for the Rams kept false starting, and they kept not calling it. And there were some holds that drove me a little crazy, especially on some important plays. But, you know, they really...
And some holds that didn't get called that should have.
Yes.
I mean, Jared Goff's rushing touchdown should have never
absolutely
happened.
There's a reason why Ford couldn't catch up with him. He was in a headlock. And so those drove me nuts. But I'll tell you, for me, broadcasters, bad broadcasting bothers me, especially when they just say inaccurate things. And they're clearly just trying to push a narrative. That bothered me a lot because I talk to people all the time about what goes on in football. And they are very largely impacted by what the announcers say during the game. And it just drove me nuts seeing some of the things they were saying. I'm like, why aren't you guys talking about this? Why aren't you talking about Watkins being injured? Why aren't you talking about what happened with Gurley? Why aren't you talking about this drop? Why aren't you talking about the fact that that looked like an incomplete pass? Why aren't you talking about, you know what I mean? It just, the things they were choosing to talk about, I was just like, what is this? I don't know. It was frustrating.
And there's one thing that they didn't talk about, and it never really got a replay, and I still want to go back and look at all 22. I haven't had a chance to do it yet. When they returned the – I can't remember if it was the interception or was it – I think it had to have been the interception for the touchdown. Marcus Peters got up in Patrick Mahomes' face and was going off on him.
What I don't know if you saw Vahe Gregorian with the KC Star. He wrote a little bit on that. And according to Mahomes – Peters was not saying like crappy stuff to him. According to Mahomes, he was saying, "Hey, I got you, man. I'm going to help you up." Like, and was just kind of, it was kind of your regular, like, we're on top of each other in the huddle moment. And he said,
but that's not what it looked like.
No, it's not what it looked like at all. It looked awful. But that's what Mahomes said. Now, is Mahomes the type of dude that might downplay something? I think so, but I don't think he'd outright lie. I think he'd be like, "Oh, it was no big deal." Like if it was trash talk.
Right. Well, fair enough. You know, you look at this game and you look at what it means for Kansas City. And I have to ask you a quick question and then we need to take a quick break. I tweeted something out and I got blown up on Twitter for it. So I'm sure you're probably going to agree with most of the people that were blowing me up for it. I watched last night's game and Kansas City missed Sammy Watkins, but to me, this offense still needs another pass catcher. Do you agree or disagree?
I'm not sure I agree with that. No, I don't. Not nearly as much as they have.
Because they're not going to have Conley next year.
Right.
And Robinson hasn't stepped up. That was my whole point.
Sure. I think, you know, generally speaking, with Watkins healthy, you don't even notice. And so I think they need to continue to try to develop guys. But they might be able to bring Conley back relatively cheap next year. Who knows?
Well, we thought that they could bring Wilson back cheap. I don't know. Maybe they can. I'm not saying they need to go out and draft somebody in the first round, but I think that they really definitely need to look at another pass catcher in the second or third round, and maybe even a tight end at that. And not to replace Kelsey, but Kelsey is the oldest piece on this offense. And you look at the other part of it that really hits home for me is knowing that Tyreek Hill is probably going to get paid this offseason just because they don't have much of a choice at this point. They can't afford for him to go into next season looking for a payday. And I don't think they can afford Sammy Watkins and Tyreek Hill for the next 2 years. Maybe they can afford them both next year, but I don't think they can do it 2 years in a row.
I don't think so either. I think Watkins is going to end up being a 2-year deal.
And they're going to have to replace him. And it takes a year in this system for most wide receivers to be effective. So, to me, I think it's worth going out and getting somebody. But I understand why people don't agree. Let's take a quick break. And when we come back, we will talk about the side of the ball that we didn't expect to be talking about right now.
Are you looking to reach new customers? I could be mentioning your business right now. Podcast listeners are 60% more likely to interact with their sponsors than on web pages or other forms of media. Our demographic is 98% males and offers more opportunities than traditional media audiences. Have your company sponsor this podcast today. Email us at lockedonchiefs@gmail.com. Okay, guys, let's talk about your bedroom. You remember the days when you were always ready to go? Now you can increase your performance and get the extra confidence in bed. Listen up, BlueChew.com, that's blue like the color blue. It brings you the first chewable from the same FDA-approved active ingredients as Viagra and Cialis, so you know they work. You can take them anytime, day or night, even on a full stomach. And since they're chewable, they work twice as fast as a pill, so you can be ready whenever the opportunity arises. Blue Chew is prescribed online and shipped straight to your door in a discreet package, so no in-person doctor's visits, no waiting in a pharmacy, and no awkwardness. They're made right here in the USA, and since Blue Chew prepares and ships theirs direct, they're cheaper than a pharmacy. Right now, we've got a special deal for our listeners. Visit BlueChew.com and get your first shipment free when you use the special promo code LOCKEDON. Just pay $5 shipping. Again, that's BlueChew.com and use the promo code LOCKEDON. Blue Chew is the better, cheaper, faster choice. We thank them for sponsoring the podcast.
How about that defense?
How about that defense? Glass half full. The pass rush is legit. That's one of the best offensive lines they're going to face all year. And they performed. Despite some tough circumstances, the pass rush got it done. If it weren't for the pass rush, the Chiefs would have given up 100 points. Anytime Goff had time to throw and or where he was not harassed, you know, if he dropped back and he didn't have any kind of pressure on him within the first second and a half, 2 seconds, it was a bad deal. And so I'm really encouraged by that. One thing that I noticed, which is worth talking about, because you and I have had a lot of discussions about Justin Houston versus Dee Ford, all that stuff.
No, he's done.
Oh, goodness.
Don't
yeah.
you know?
Yeah, Justin Houston's just done. Here's what's worth noticing. And Dee Ford is having a great year. And he made a few plays on Monday night. And the hat's off to him for that. But it's worth noting that when they went up against a pair of really, really good tackles, the player who stood out the most was Houston. And that's one of the reasons why I've always preferred Houston, is he's more matchup proof, whereas Ford is more a prototype. You know, he needs certain types of matchups.
Well, and one thing that you mentioned earlier that I really think is an underplayed story in this game is when they let the left tackle or the right tackle completely false start on, I don't know, at least 5 or 6 times throughout the game, that really helps him because he is not a finesse type tackle. He's a mauler, and Ford's get off is fantastic. And if he gets that extra half second, that's all he needs.
It was a huge advantage for their right tackle. And so the pass rush being legit was a really big takeaway. I need to take a look at the film more. I want to check it out. Dorian O'Daniel was on the field a lot. In fact, he was on the field the first snap. And so I'm curious. I had some people say they want me to take a look at, you know, did he affect Gurley? Did he affect the running back usage? Because he was on the field quite a bit. And so I want to take a look at him a little more closely, but he definitely has found a place on the defense. But we know now the corners who have played pretty well all year, we know now they cannot punch in that weight class. Nope. And I think we knew that. I think we knew that especially about Nelson and Skandrick. Fuller, I don't remember much of him. I think he did fine. He had one in particular, incredible pass breakup. But overall, I thought he did pretty well. But I don't think Nelson and Skandrick, it's kind of the whole, you know, that scene in Remember the Titans where, it's Ryan Gosling, I think it is, where he says, you know, I can play against blah, 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 blah. I can't play these guys. I can't play against these guys. And you see that a little bit against the Rams. Nelson and Skandrick were out of their depth and the safeties didn't play well enough to help them out. And that was unfortunate.
Well, I agree with that. But I also think that one thing that really frustrated me in the first half was the lack of blitzing. And I know Goff gets the ball out quick, but when they blitzed him later in the game, it was effective. And they didn't go to that until later in the game. And I think if they would have started that way, the first half starts differently.
Yeah, it was interesting. Some of the safety blitzes they were bringing were really effective, and not just at getting to the quarterback, but speeding up his process. It affected his accuracy. Goff started the game out on fire, and then of course he ended the game on fire. But he had a lot of plays that he left on the field there where his accuracy suffered a little bit, and you can never say you gave up, what was it, 40 points on defense and say you played a good game. And people say, oh, but the turnovers and all this and all that and the other thing. The reality is the defense was a sieve. I mean, they unless they had a sack or a hit or something like that, they were giving up yards all over the place. Now, does that mean I blame one side of the ball more than the other? Yes, anytime you score 44 on offense and you give up 40 on defense, I'm going to blame the defense a little more than the offense.
Right. And the offense certainly didn't help them by giving the ball up five times. But Jared Goff isn't Patrick Mahomes. So, I mean, he's going to be off a little bit and it's just going to happen.
Yep. I mean, he can sling.
You like what
yes,
I did there?
Yes. It's just going to happen. Overall with the defense, I'm trying to hang on to the pass rush. I think that's the kind of game where Earl Thomas, that trade they tried to pull off, makes all the difference in the world. Because I still think Seattle would have gotten theirs, but with his range and ability and coverage on the back end, the Thomas trade that was going to happen, it was absolutely going to happen before he broke his leg, that was made for that. You know, that idea was for this game or a game against the Saints or the Patriots, because Thomas is a guy who can help you win shootouts by keeping the other team from shooting back.
Yep. No, I agree. Thomas would have been a big piece to this defense. I still think they get Eric Berry back after this bye, which I think he's going to be a huge piece of this defense.
Absolutely.
As well.
And I mean, he's a big part of the defense. He's a big part in coverage. He changes what they can do schematically, helps with the run defense, does a lot of great things. And so that was the other thing you think watching that game was just a playmaker on the back end. Even if I think Berry would have struggled at points in that game just because the Rams are that good on offense. But I think he makes just a couple of plays that other guys didn't. You know, that last, you know, that deep ball that Sorensen gave up at the end of the game, I don't think Eric Berry gives that up. And so,
well, and honestly, when that play happened, I actually was happy that they scored.
Happy that they scored at that point. You know, once I saw the pass was going to be completed, that was just, yeah, that whole, it was a tough way to go. It's like the game kept ending, but it didn't end.
Yep. Well, I mean, when they score at that point, you look at the clock and you're like, okay, Kansas City's got this. All they got to do is go down the field and score a touchdown, and they have been able to be stopped most of the game. I do think that they need to figure out they need to adjust sooner. The first strip sack by Aaron Donald, that should have been enough to get them to adjust on the offensive line, and they didn't. He did it again, and don't get me wrong, I know Donald's a fantastic player, but you cannot leave him one-on-one against Cam Irving.
Yeah.
And expect
especially
it to go well.
With the type of...
If you're not moving the pocket.
Right. And when we were moving the pocket, it was fine. And so, yes, I agree with that. Right. That was a tough gig. And, you know, sometimes, you know, guys are just going to wreck games. You can only adjust so much. And so, I mean, it was a really, really, really bizarre game. One of the weirdest games I've ever watched. And I don't know if it really predicts much of the future.
I would agree with that, but I will say this. Yes, Donald made fantastic plays in two instances. But if you look at that game in a whole, you didn't see anything from Ndamukong Suh. You didn't see anything from Dante Fowler. You didn't see anything from the other guy other than his pick, which I'm sorry, that was more of a gift wrap, and the recovered fumble. Both those plays, he didn't really make them. They were made for him. One dropped in his lap and one was made by Aaron Donald. Right. So the offensive line, I thought, played pretty well for the most part, other than those two plays. And I think you're asking too much to have Donald be taken one-on-one.
I agree. So, I agree. That was a tough ask of him. And so, I mean, I do think that the help was inside with the center. And so I think part of that was Irving failing to set up outside and overset to force Donald to go inside.
Right. Yeah. No, and that's certainly possible. Although, you know, Irving's played fantastic this year for Kansas City, and they've been really lucky to have him. So not trying to take anything away from him. I just thought that that was an instance where you have to know better. And this is something I said last night, and I want to see if you agree with me, and then we'll take another break. I think this game was a good game for Kansas City because I think that this is a game that Patrick Mahomes learns from. I think he learns from the mistakes of holding the ball too long and fumbling the ball and throwing the interceptions he threw. Yeah, two of the interceptions really weren't on him, but I think he learns from this. I think it's something that, you know, you look at this game, if this is a repeat, if the Super Bowl is a repeat of this, there's no way he turns the ball over five times.
Oh, I would be stunned. It's kind of funny because people predicted games like this from Mahomes, you know, the five turnover game. To me, you know, this idea of people, it's a five turnover game. I'm not those sacks. Come on. That's maybe he could have gotten rid of the ball faster. I don't know. But
especially against Aaron Donald, who's the best defensive player in the NFL.
Those things are just going to happen sometimes.
Bar none.
And so I, you know, it's just interesting with Mahomes. He definitely had the one pick in particular was just horrendous. You know, they had the ball. They were on, I think what? I mean, St. Louis's, LA's 49 yard line. They had all three timeouts. They were in the driver's seat to win that game before he threw that pick. And it was first and 10. Just everything about that. It was the worst mistake he's made this year.
Well, but was it a mistake? Because his arm got hit.
Right, I mean, but
to be fair, he wasn't able to step into that throw. Now, obviously, it ended up being a mistake, but was the decision
absolutely
a mistake?
He's got to see that defender that close. And it's just not worth risking a throw under that circumstance. And it's not like it was his blind side. He couldn't have seen it coming. I mean, it was right in front of him. And it was risky to wind up and throw that one. What he probably should have done was tried to spin out and make a play with his feet, or just chuck it out of bounds.
Fair enough. All right, let's take another quick break and we'll be right back. You know, ever since we started this podcast, people have been asking us for advice. Usually it's what team to bet on this week. The truth is, we don't know who's going to win, but if you think you know, you got to check out MyBookie. Remember, who you're betting on is just as important as who you're betting with. That's why we always tell people to bet with MyBookie. Trust us, guys. They are your best bet this season. They've been in business for years, have great reviews online, and their mobile site is easy to use. Go lay down some cash and win big today. We would only recommend a service to our listeners that's been good to us. That's why we're urging you to make your way to MyBookie. You win, they pay. They have in-game live betting, the most rewarding player perks in the business, and for you fantasy guys out there, you can even bet the over-under on how many fantasy points a player will score each game. Go join MyBookie now, and they will match your deposit dollar for dollar. Use promo code LOCKEDON25 to activate the offer. Visit MyBookie online today. That's MyBookie, and don't forget to use the promo code LOCKEDON25 when creating your account to claim the bonus. You play, you win, you get paid. All right, so you look at this game, 51-54, Chiefs lose. Nice thing about it is New England was off. They're still 7-3. Kansas City has a game up. San Diego is still lost to the Broncos. Thank you, Denver. The Steelers have a tie and the Chiefs have beat them. So they're still in the driver's
absolutely
seat right now.
And that's the big thing. The Chargers going ahead and losing this last weekend really in effect took all the pressure off the Chiefs. They could lose and still be number one seed in the AFC. They get a chance to play the Chargers again. They've beaten them once. I think they'll beat them again.
Well, in that game specifically is on a Thursday night in Kansas City. That's a tough ask for a West Coast team to do.
Yep, and the Chiefs are home and home, which is a huge deal. That's a giant, giant advantage when you're playing a Thursday night game is that, for one, that you're at home because that day of travel becomes crucial, and two, it's a home and home, right? So they go, you know, they're in Kansas City. They never have to do any time traveling. They can just recuperate, do their usual routine. You know, it's so unbelievably helpful in terms of getting rest and recuperated.
Well, and you look at the games that the Chiefs have left, and they have the Raiders twice, the Chargers, as we've talked about, the Ravens and the Seahawks. To me, I don't think any of those games are games that they shouldn't win.
I would agree. I think in Seattle will be tough, but...
Oh, I agree. It's going to be tough. I'm just thinking they should win.
I think that's accurate. They're the better team in every game they've got so far. And the important thing now is to just respond well after the bye week. Hopefully get healthy and come out and whoop up on the Ravens while I'm watching their live.
There you go. Well, and then you have, real quick, you have the Chargers have the Arizona this week, and then they have Pittsburgh, Cincinnati, Kansas City, Baltimore, and Denver. That's the remaining schedule. That's rough. Then you look at Patriots. They have they have Minnesota this week. They have Miami, Pittsburgh, Buffalo, and New York. I think they could lose to Minnesota and Pittsburgh. So, you know, Kansas City's really in the driver's seat. They control their own destiny at this point. What do you think happens with Eric Berry in the bye week? Do you think he comes back next week?
I think he does. I think he starts practicing after the bye week.
And do you think Watkins is back after the bye week?
Yep.
So the only person that they're going to possibly be without after this bye week is probably going to be Morse.
And that would be surprising to me if he were still out too, because possibly. He's been in the concussion protocol for as long as he has. I would be surprised if he were still out. Now we'll see, of course, but, you know, that would be such a huge get, having him back. And I know they're talking about whether it's LDT or Watts who might eventually come back. And so this is, as much as it sometimes stinks having the bye week really late in the year, it's not a bad time to have it. You know, injuries are starting to mount up. Give your guys a little rest.
Yeah, and LDT, I'm glad you brought him up. He would be able to return. And I think Watts went out the same week LDT did. If that's correct, they would both be able to return on December 4th. Obviously, only one can come back, so it's questionable who is going to come back. If I'm Kansas City, if LDT has a chance to come back, I think you bring him back as opposed to Watts. But, you know, that could also depend on whether or not Eric Berry's healthy.
Right,
at that
point. A lot's going to depend on that. And that's one of the pivotal things of this season, is whether or not Berry eventually gets healthy.
Well, that's what we can hope for. Right now, 9-2. If you would have told me at the beginning of the year they'd be 9-2 headed into their bye week, I would have said, I'll take that every time. Don't care how they lose. And honestly, they haven't looked bad in any of the games that they've really played. They've maybe looked bad for a half at times, but offensively, they've looked pretty good in just about every single game. And Mahomes, you know, we talked about this last night. How crazy is it? Mahomes is on pace for 5,300 yards and 54 touchdowns.
I think that's pretty good.
I think I'll take that. So, thank you all for listening. We really do appreciate it. And like I said, we will not have a show on Thursday. Ryan and I will be back on Friday to have you covered for the weekend before the bye week. And we actually have hopefully a special guest lined up for Monday. I'm trying to lock that down right now, so I'm not going to mention who it is. And we will talk to you later.
Subscribe to the show on iTunes or Google Play. Follow the show on Twitter at Locked On Chiefs. Check out my work at RGR Football on YouTube, Chris's work on LockedOnChiefs.com, and all of Seth's film analysis at TheAthletic.com. Thanks for listening.